We have a guest speaker, Pastor Andy from Family Church, and he's well known to Kingdom Faith, and he's been here a few times, but he's bringing a fresh message to us today from the Lord, and I believe it's time to welcome him to come and speak for the Lord.
Praise God. Thank you, Pastor Judith. You can take your chairs. Good to meet you, those that we've been walking with a while. It's good to see you again, those that are new to church. Well, praise God, we're glad you're here. And God's got great plans for United Kingdom, hasn't he, eh? Yeah. It's a joy to be with your pastors and just fellowshipping with them yesterday. We had a wonderful afternoon together and just a rich time of fellowship last night over an Indian curry. It was just brilliant catching up and hearing all that God's putting on your hearts as a church. And seeing what God's doing with you. And we bring you greetings from Family Church in Portsmouth and the guys. They're busy in their praise this morning. And all across the land, people are lifting up his name. Amen. And it's a joy to have Sophie with me, who's my fourth child. This is Sophie. And you're meeting them slowly and surely. Now, I want to carry on this morning pretty much where we were talking yesterday. And I was sharing with Pastor Judith and Andrea yesterday. But I really felt there was such significance to some of the things we were sharing yesterday. But it's so easy when you're out speaking to think, oh, I shared this message Saturday, and to move on to, hey, God, what else are you saying? But I really sensed this morning that the response of the Lord is, I'm not saying anything else, which means we probably need to hang around what he wants to say. Because one thing I know, that you only hear a little thing when you hear it once. When you hear it again, it just underlines in our hearts. So I want to stay around. I was sharing with Pastor last night, and she said, yes, please stay around that thought. And it's the thought of the kingdom. And so let's pray, and then we're just going to encourage our hearts. Father, we thank you, Lord. I thank you. Let my tongue be the pen of a ready writer this morning. Lord, we believe that you're speaking harvest over Taunton and Somerset, and you're speaking kingdom. And those two words are aligned. They work together. Lord, we thank you today. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our hearts, we pray. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Lord, demonstrate your kingdom in power. Father, not just in words, we pray. Amen. You know, it's interesting. When you begin to think kingdom, and I know the theme for you guys, which I hope is more than a theme, I think it's a way of life, is kingdom breakout. And it's amazing when you begin to talk kingdom, you actually see that it was pretty much the only thing that Jesus taught. It was pretty much the only thing that he taught when he was on the earth. And after the 400-year silence of Malachi, the first thing that God said through his son really was kingdom. And Jesus went around preaching kingdom everywhere. Now, this is interesting because we need to understand the power of this. But even in his parables, they were always about the kingdom. And the moment God opens your eyes to the message of the kingdom, you see it everywhere. It's almost like there's an awakening that you're like, oh, Jesus, you were talking about kingdom there. You're talking about kingdom here. You're talking about kingdom there. When you go through like Matthew 13, it's all parables of the kingdom. When he speaks about the lost son, it's interesting that in that parable you have the kingdom and the harvest. Because the wayward child leaves the kingdom and returns to the kingdom. But then we hear that in the kingdom, the older brother was in the harvest field. So there's a lovely parallel between harvest and kingdom. And I believe if we're going to go into the harvest field, which is our commission, and that's really what the Lord's speaking over Great Britain, is bring the harvest in, bring the harvest in. Then we've got to sit around the war room first and ask, if we do what we've always done, we're only going to produce what we've always produced. So let's think, are we actually going and doing something that could actually save a nation? And to me, my conclusions is that we don't just go to tell people about the king, but also about his kingdom. But when we invite people to receive Christ, we need to help them to understand that we first understand that they're not just receiving the person, the unchanging person of Christ, but they're also receiving an unshakable kingdom here in this life. And I really believe that as God continues to open our hearts and our eyes to the thoughts of the kingdom, our lives will become richer, more powerful, but also people will begin to come into something that changes their life. Because a lot of the gospel message over years really spoke about what happens when you die. It was really about the assurance of life after death. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. All that's true, but it's sadly missing something that affects your life here and now. Which is when you're born again, you don't just receive the king, you receive his kingship. You don't receive the Lord, you receive his lordship. Not in heaven, but here on earth. And what I've been just going over in my heart, because I was so excited when I heard your pastor speaking of kingdom breakout. Because all I'm teaching at the moment, and I can't get away from this, is kingdom. All I'm preaching is kingdom come. If you go to family church and look through all the things I've been preaching the last few weeks, it will be how the kingdom comes, how the kingdom grows. Because we need to understand for ourselves that when we're born again, we don't just receive the king, but a kingdom is born or renewed or awoken in us. And when we understand our citizenship to that kingdom in this life, our lives without trying will become the salt and the light that Jesus said they would be. Without the understanding of our citizenship to another kingdom in this life, we're going to be trying to manufacture evangelism that can only last a moment. When they referred to the disciples, they said they were called the Way. Now, there's many expressions to why they were called the Way. But to me, one of the reasons they were called the Way was they represented a whole different way of living in this life that was so delicious and so attractive. Everyone wanted to be a part of the way they were living. And to become a part of the way that they were living, it was simple. They just had to step from being a citizen of their natural birth into being a citizen of their second birth. So my question to you is, we're going to end up somewhere today, how we live out the kingdom, because we want to see kingdom break out in power in our lives and in other people's lives. But we can't give what we haven't got. We can't give out of what we don't yet know we have. So this morning I want to talk just very simply, do you know that you became a citizen the day you believed of another kingdom? Because again, a lot of the times when we hear in Great Britain, thy kingdom come, it's being spoken from vicars, pastors, but in their own understanding are saying, one day this will be something from there, far, far away, coming to here. That's not going to change the world. And it's actually not the meaning of the word come. But when we pray kingdom come, we should be praying kingdom come from a revelation that the kingdom has come. And when we say kingdom come, we're praying, manifest yourself to this world. Otherwise, we're living in this theology called far, far away. Now, every theologian here knows that there's a number of outworkings to kingdom come, and there is the attribute of one day the king will return to collect what belongs to him. And in that day, yeah, the kingdom will come. But the problem is, many Christians are living unaware that the kingdom is already here, and the kingdom is in you. Who made you in the beginning? God. So you were made to be kingdom. You were made in his image. The kingdom's wired into every cell of you. But through sin and disobedience, man separated themselves or became dead to the kingdom. But when we're born again, that kingdom is awoken in us. It's not unnatural to live the kingdom life. It actually feels like you're coming home. Because you were made in his image. And he wired the kingdom into Adam and Eve. And the problem was, they were living untrue to the kingdom, which meant they were in conflict. When we get born again, it actually feels like we're coming home. Because the kingdom's alive in us. Amen? All right, let's just go through some basics. Because I want to get to the point of, I don't actually know where I'm heading today, I'll just be honest with you. I've got a few words scribbled in my journal, but this kind of works for me when I do this. I know that God wants us to understand this afternoon that the kingdom can break out through our lives. But before we get there, we've got to understand that the kingdom has come. And remove from our thinking this thought process that kingdom come is about Jesus returning one day. And us realizing that when we're born again, our lives are saved, but also our lives move from one realm to another. And it's like, wow, did that happen when I believed? It really did. The problem is many Christians don't know that. So though they come to church on Sunday and bow the knee to the king, they don't live in the rule and the reign of the king in their life throughout the week. Now, it's true that God can speak through a donkey, but his power always flows through that which is submitted to him. Because often, Christians can make excuses. Well, it doesn't matter the condition of my life. God spoke through a donkey with the account of Balaam. Correct, he did. But actually, the power was always flowing through people whose lives were subject to the rule and reign of his kingdom. I don't know about you, I want to lay hands on the sick and see him really healed. I want to speak to tormenting spirits. I want to speak to depression. I want to speak to OCD and epilepsy and other things and tell them to go and see them leave the moment I speak. Now, that's not just the desire of a church leader. That should be the desire of every believer. That's not the inheritance of the leader. That's the inheritance of the believer. The problem is, until we understand kingdom reign in our life, we'll never release kingdom reign in our life. It starts with us. So, okay, when we talk about the kingdom of God, we suddenly are awoken to the fact that it's pretty much all that Jesus spoke about. And he said that the entrance into the kingdom is really simple, but there's an etiquette to coming in. It said, whoever believes. Isn't that awesome? Some religions say it's for people born of this color or race or creed. No, the kingdom of God says it's for everyone. There's no racism in the kingdom of God. Amen. See, when you begin to understand the kingdom, you see how different the kingdom of this world is to the kingdom of our God. I don't become a citizen of the kingdom of God when I die and fly away. I'm a citizen of that kingdom here. And as I live true to his kingdom, while still physically present in the United Kingdom, his kingdom will be the greatest sound for my life, all right? It's amazing when you look at racism, segregation, all those things that are present in kingdoms of this world, none of those things are present in the kingdom of God. All men are equal. Only one superstar, Jesus Christ. Everyone else, they're all sons and daughters of that kingdom. Isn't that beautiful? Now, it's amazing that if you've lived in the kingdoms of racism, segregation, caste and such things, suddenly there should be a delight in our hearts when we realize we're now citizens of a kingdom where none of that junk exists. God knows no man by the place of their birth, the color of their skin, by their richness or their poverty. All are equal. It's much more fun being a citizen of his kingdom. It's delicious. I keep using that word. It's delicious. When you come into the kingdom, you're suddenly like, oh, I should have moved here years ago. The problem is sometimes Christians have been Christians for 20 years and they still don't know that they're citizens of a much better kingdom. So the kingdom of God, the Bible says it's simple. Narrow is the path that leads to it. A man must be born again. But what about all roads lead to Christ? That's just a deceptive lie. There's only one way into the kingdom of the Father, and that's through the doorway of the Son. There's only one way into the kingdom of new life, and that's through your identification with his death, burial, and resurrection. That's why when Jesus said to Nicodemus, a man must be born again. You cannot see or experience the kingdom unless you're born again. So if you're here today and you've never been born again, there's a kingdom welcoming you this morning, beckoning you in. Not just a king, a kingdom. And the moment you pray a prayer of new birth, your life goes through a doorway into a whole nother kingdom, but continues when you die, but is present now. We were sharing yesterday, it's amazing how many Christians are almost talking about their life being in a different mode when they step into glory. It's going to be no different, because the kingdom that's awaiting us there is present now, here. And God wants us to live in his kingdom now, but when we die, it will just be a relocating, nothing changes. The rule and reign of Christ will be the same there over our life as it is here. we've got to break some of this I'll fly away, old glory stuff. Like we're suddenly going to transform into nice people. No, you've got to be nice people now. But suddenly in heaven we'll be victorious people. No, you've got to be victorious now. Unless we believe that there's two types of kingdom, one now and one there. The Bible says there's one king and there's one kingdom. As it is in heaven, let it be here on earth. Now often when we pray that, we're praying it to see the power released in heaven. But our life should be subject to the kingdom here on earth, as they one day will be in heaven. Amen? So you must be born again. It's simple. People make getting saved and becoming a Christian so hard. It's really not hard. It's an open invitation to whosoever. But you must be born again, which means you must come through faith in Christ. You must come through the King into his kingdom. You can't come over the wall or the fence or any other gate. You can only come into the kingdom through the King. Right? Now the Bible says that there's an etiquette that only people who are poor of spirit can come into the kingdom. Now again, when we speak of poor of spirit, it's not talking about natural poverty or lack. It's actually speaking of something very positive. The poverty of spirit, it says the kingdom belongs to those, blessed are those who are poor of spirit. Now again, poor of spirit is actually an attribute. It means somebody that knows they can't save themselves. Somebody who knows that they need a saviour. Yes. Somebody who is humble of heart. The Amplified Version says, not for those who are spiritually arrogant. So those who are spiritually arrogant can't come into the kingdom, because you can only come into the kingdom through the King. If you don't recognise your need for a saviour, you will remain unsaved. You locked yourself up, he didn't do it. That's why we've got to walk with humility, because God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So it's a good thing to be poor of spirit. It's not a good thing to be broke naturally, is it? But to be broke spiritually is true prosperity. Lord, I need you. God, I need you. I can't save myself. Do you know how easy it is to lead someone into the kingdom when they're totally unconvinced of their own potential to save themselves? And they're desperate for a saviour. But then you meet Christians that have got over-impressed with themselves. It's like sometimes when I hear people's testimony, I'm like, wow, how did the kingdom of God survive without you all these years? How did Jesus manage everything without you? Wow, thank you for getting saved. For me, it wasn't like that. My total accomplishment before meeting Christ was that I was an idiot. That's just as it was. Everything I touched was broken, I ruined, I destroyed. I couldn't save myself. I needed a saviour. But out of that poverty of spirit, my realisation led me to the King. But equally, coming into the kingdom can confuse those who are self-confessed geniuses. Because the Bible says, unless you come as a child, unless you come as a child, you cannot receive or understand the ways of the kingdom. Kids are vulnerable, aren't they? Kids have that beautiful innocence where they just believe what their parent tells them. That's as it should be. In the same way, the kingdom belongs to those that can just come with the innocence of children, knowing their need for the Saviour. To those, the doors of the kingdom are wide open. When we come into the kingdom also comes into us. Oh, that we could get the revelation that we're carriers of a kingdom today. But to the level that we're submitted to the rule and reign of that kingdom will be the level of the rule and the reign of that kingdom flowing through us. Now, God can use anyone and anything. He can use inanimate. I get that. But that's not his ideal. His ideal is that each of us, as we walk around in the kingdom of our birth, we walk with a persuasion of the kingdom of our second birth. But we're ambassadors of his kingdom, not the lands of our natural birth. Now, I went over this with the leaders yesterday. But we must obey the law of the land, because all authority is of God. until the Lord of land asks us to do something that's contrary to the law of the kingdom that we truly belong to. And that's where Paul and the guys got into trouble at those moments of collision. Sometimes I hear Christians, and they're actually speaking words of rebellion. We're not called to be rebellious. We're called to understand authority in life, but also to walk around in life as aliens. Are you an alien today? Are you an alien? Are you a sojourner in a land that's not your own? Or have you made yourself so comfortable and embedded with the place of your natural birth that there's no place for you to understand a whole new citizenship? I don't want to be a citizen of this land because this land can't heal anyone. This land can't deliver anyone. This land can't break chains. Oh, but the kingdom that I'm a part of that's inside of me, it can break every chain. It can rearrange things. But for me, my journey is understanding, all right, number one, have I come into the kingdom like a child? If I have, the Bible declares that the kingdom of God isn't near me. It's now reawoken in me, which means there's a new way of living within me. Now, Jesus also taught the way of the kingdom is like a mustard seed or a grain of yeast. But often people say, when they've prayed the prayer, was that it? You know, every now and then somebody gets lightning or God writes on the wall, you're saved. And I'm always like, well, you didn't do that for me. When I gave my life to Christ, I know something shifted inside of me, but there really wasn't any evidence to delight my senses. Yet we walk by faith. And the kingdom says that the moment I believed, I brought my life under the leadership of a king while being present in this land. But also, I came into his kingdom and his kingdom came into me. But it says his kingdom came like a mustard seed. One of my favorite verses I shared yesterday. Fear not, little flock. It was the Father's pleasure to give you his kingdom. Isn't that beautiful? I love that. Fear not, little flock. It's the Father's pleasure to give you his kingdom. But when his kingdom comes, it doesn't come like the arrival of Rome. It comes like a seed on the wind, like yeast in the mixing bowl. But if it's just left alone and not added to the mix, you can spend your whole life with the presence of the potency of yeast, but never experience its possessive takeover of your life. You see, the mustard seed and yeast, they come small, almost unnoticed, but they come with the potency to change everything. But they can only change that which is yielded to them. That's why when we live kingdom living, it's actually done in private, not in public view. It's in our private stronghold or our private place that we're saying, Lord, let your yeast, let the kingdom yeast affect every bit of flour that I am. Lord, let the mustard seed grow like a mighty tree in every area, my finances, my morality. God, wherever my life is has been in rebellion to you, Lord, mix the yeast of who you are into the flour of that place. And as we do, live from that place of poverty of spirit, hunger for God, suddenly the yeast of his kingdom begins to mess up our wrong financial thinking and bring us to strength. The yeast of his kingdom begins to possess the wrong moralities that we learnt in the formative years of growing in another kingdom. And we begin to bring those things, and suddenly kingdom begins to break out in us. We think differently. We love differently. We don't care about the things we once care about. It's not behavior modification. Rather, it's a new domination from within that actually feels like we're coming home. Not pretending to be something we're not. See, a Christian who pretends to be something he's not won't pretend for long. But for me, when I see the kingdom breaking out in my life, because before it can break out outside of me, it's got to break through within me. to me, when suddenly the kingdom takes over an area of my life that was formerly in rebellion, the moment that Aslan walks on the frozen ground and it comes alive again. Everybody love a bit of C.S. Lewis? Come on, the portrayal of the Lion and the Witch in the Wardrobe is awesome when you think of Kingdom, Rule and Reign. It's a great film to watch. And somebody said, do you like the Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe? I said, that's Narnia your business. That's Narnia your business. Bit of light entertainment to relieve the pressure there. It's like when I had a dream that I was Gandalf the other day, but I was actually just Tolkien in my sleep. They can keep coming all day if you like. Now, the rule and the reign of Christ is in my life. As I allow the mustard seed to grow and the yeast to release its potential and its potency, my life then experiences the transformation that the Bible says it would. But the good thing is then, God doesn't stop with me. Then his rule and reign can begin to come through me. But before the rule and the reign can come through us, we need to be good citizens of the kingdom. We need to, again, when Jesus teaches the kingdom, doesn't he refer often to a man who came representing the kingdom that wasn't received? It was all kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. God wants us to be people that are walking in this life representing a kingdom of our second birth that trumps the kingdom of our first birth. If you have more national pride to the country of your first birth than that of your second birth, you're living untrue. You are a dual citizen actually in living from the wrong citizenship. We're kingdom people first. We're kingdom people first. We're kingdom people first. We ask, Lord, what does your kingdom come look like? Okay, when we pray kingdom come now from that position, that we're citizens of, the kingdom now lives in us, that we're yielding our lives and we're being good subjects, we're bowing our knee to that kingdom, not just asking that kingdom to come through our lives. That means that suddenly then we can experience kingdom breakout. The rule and reign, because kingdom is the sovereign rule and reign. It's the realm of God. Not far, far away, but here and present. It's then that we can come into situations and begin to speak with kingdom authority. For me as a young evangelist, kingdom authority was the volume of how I was preaching. But actually, I understand now that kingdom authority isn't in the natural increase of natural volume. It's in the depth of the words and the persuasion that they're coming from. But when you know that you're a kingdom citizen and that your life is subject to that kingdom. Are you a subject of that kingdom? Is your life today subject to that kingdom? To the degree that your life is subject to the kingdom is the degree that you can walk in kingdom authority. Because if you're living with one foot in this kingdom and one foot in this kingdom, you're living a life of compromise, which means the enemy can always accuse you and nullify the authority of your voice. But when you say, I don't want to be a dual citizen, I want my life, though I live in this world, to be a citizen of his world, suddenly when you speak and the enemy accuses, you can say, shut up, you old fox. You've got nothing in me. And you can walk and begin to decree and declare and remove mountains for you and for others. But for my life, the problem was I often spoke with forked tongue. Because some of my life was a subject of a kingdom, while other parts of my life were still a subject of the kingdom of my natural birth. I want to encourage you, be moving everything over. Be moving everything over. Moving everything over. If the yeast hasn't affected an area of your life, come out of Adam's rebellion. Come out of the rebellion of the first son into the obedience of the original son. Let the yeast of his kingdom have it, even though it hurts, even though you think you're losing. You're actually losing nothing. You're gaining everything. I want to encourage you, and I'm encouraging myself, if there's anything in your life that the Holy Spirit's saying, now that. Now that, now that, now that. Don't fight him. Don't resist him. Don't take another 10 years. Say, Lord, I bring it. And I bow. Because the bottom line is everything in your life is going to bow the knee to him anyway. Why wait till the other side of the grave to experience the fruit of that? Why not do it here? Why not walk as a kingdom subject here, where the rule and the reign of Christ is over every area of your life? All right, so this means that then we can walk with a confidence that when we speak to things that are not of God, they recognize the authority that our lives are subject to, and they obey the word of that kingdom. But also, sometimes it's just about, I don't even know why I brought my journal here. This is good. I'm not even going to look because I don't want to be distracted. I like what God's saying here. It means this, and this is what I want to leave the thought with you this morning. I know I've laid a lot of platform, but here's the thought. Kingdom living, kingdom breakout, is simply a decision. Will you live in alignment to the grain of the kingdom, or will you keep living contrary to it? When we're born again, so much in our life moves in a different direction to the grain of the kingdom. Our discipleship and the speed of our transformation is how quick we can stop moving against the grain of the kingdom and bring everything in our life into the flow and the grain of the kingdom ways. And some areas are easier than others. I can remember when I first got saved, I stood down the front of a church like you and I prayed the prayer, "You can have it all, Lord. I give you all of my life." What a load of rubbish. He knew it was rubbish. I didn't know it was rubbish yet. The truth is, I probably gave him about 18%. In my heart, I meant, "Lord, you can have it all. You can have it all, Lord." But what I was actually singing was, "You can have 18%, and over the next few years, through your faithfulness, I'll slowly bring the rest of the percent I haven't submitted under your rule and reign. As I see your goodness break out in the 18, suddenly it'll move to 25, 35, 45, 50, and eventually you will have 100% because you see the end of the thing from the beginning thereof. You believe in me according to what will be, not what currently is, so you humour me when I say you can have it all." It's amazing, isn't it, when you get Christians that say, "I just want to be used by God," and the next day they knock on your door saying, "I feel so used." What do you mean? "Well, everyone's using me." But you prayed, "I want to be used." And now you're being, what planet are you living on? If you pray, "I want to be used," God will let people use you. You asked for it. Right? And servanthood is the grain of the kingdom. All right, moving on. That was for someone. That went out a special request for someone there. Is this okay today? But the grain of the kingdom is now the true grain of who you are. And the Bible reveals the grain of the kingdom. When you read the Bible, it's not legalistic or religious. It's simply saying, God designed life, and here's the best way to live it. So when we're people of the way, all we're acknowledging is we're living by the way of the kingdom in this world where the teaching of this world is contrary to the way of the kingdom. We choose the way of the kingdom, the grain of the kingdom. Let me give you some examples of this. That the grain of the kingdom, when it speaks about things like forgiveness, is different to the grain of this world. In this world, it says you don't forgive. Vengeance is a dish best served cold. Right? And that's what I was taught that growing up. Just wait your time, get them back. If they hurt you back. That's how I was raised. Now, that's the grain of the kingdom of this world. Suddenly, when I'm born again, someone hurts me. I open my Bible and it says, "Forgive them." What? What? Do you know what they did to me? Forgive them. But I was taught, see, you've got a clash right now in your life happening. If you want kingdom breakout, you've got to decide not to live according to how you were taught, but now live according to how the word of God says is perfect living. And to the degree that you obey his truth will result in the ending of your internal turmoil. I said yesterday that I see the place for some Christian counseling when there's been devastating things taking place. But a load of Christian counseling is a waste of time. It could be replaced simply with this. Stop living opposite to what the word of God's teaching. Any questions? Because the turmoil in your life is being produced by you because you're living in a contrary way to the grain of his kingdom. Simple. Stop, repent, start living like he says you should live, and a whole bunch of the inner turmoil will stop in you and the others around you that your life is affecting. I hear Christians say things like this. I do. I hear them say, oh, I just can't forgive that person. What bookshop did you get your Bible from? Please, I want to get some of them because that sounds fun. Your Bible's broken. There's nowhere in the Bible where it allows unforgiveness. Nowhere. That's a luxury that you've brought in living by the grain of the kingdom that you were born in. But it's not in the kingdom of God. It's like our finances. It's amazing how we can live untrue to the grain of the kingdom. And we're, Lord, I'm always broke. Lord, I need a breakthrough in my finances. And God says, well, why don't you handle your finances like I've taught you to? Oh, that's too simple. Yeah, it is, isn't it? Because the Lord laid out in his word the way that we should handle our finances. It's simple. Honoring him, you know, sowing seed. There's a grain to how we handle our finances as kingdom people. But if we want to live in the realm of I know better, we're no different to Adam when he ate of the tree of the good of knowledge and evil. The trouble is, you won't stop the problems because the problem stopping align with God's teaching and way of living with your finances. You can sit in 1,000 financial seminars, nothing's going to change until you stop cutting against the grain. What I love about understanding and re-seeing the kingdom afresh is every time you bring your life into alignment with the grain of the kingdom, everything just gets easier, beautiful. Oh, the decision to make it can be brutal. But once you've come through the narrow bottleneck, you come into the wide open space. Often the step of obedience is the bottleneck, but the other side is the field of grace. It's like amazing, when I finally brought my finances under the kingdom rule and reign of what God says is correct, suddenly God's blessing on my finances broke out. In reality, looking back, I was asking God to bless something I was doing that was contrary to his way of handling finances. God's not going to do that. Our relationships, everything should just be coming under his rule and reign. But, you know, we were sharing yesterday, it's like, you've got to understand God's ways are perfect. You know, my ways are higher than your ways. My ways are so much better than your ways. I think that's what God says to the nations of this world. Oh, your world, your ways, some of them are okay. My ways are perfect. Now, as kingdom people, we live by the ways of God. But God's ways are always bigger than our ways. It's like when you see the life of Jesus, you actually see kingdom life embodied. People say, well, I don't know what the kingdom life looks like. Just watch Jesus. Because there's no difference between the king and his kingdom. And when you see Jesus just living his daily life, you see the full visual display of kingdom living. And then we just emulate and copy that. But also when we read things like the Beatitudes, it's like people sat on the bottom of a mountain when Jesus was teaching that Sermon on the Mount, and they were like, whoa, this is radical. Jesus just said, oh no, this is just how you live in my kingdom. This is how you live in my kingdom. This is the way of life in my kingdom. It's not radical. But it was radical if suddenly a man saying to you, in this world, they teach you, the grain of this world says that if someone hurts you, it's an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. I teach you that the way of my kingdom is turn the other cheek. People was like, that's crazy, that's weakness. But actually we understand that turning the cheek isn't weakness, it's meekness. How many times in a day, I had one yesterday driving home to where I was staying last night, where somebody pulled up and they weren't waving at me. And I looked and I thought, you little wimp. Andy Mark 1, who's dead, you'll be glad about that, could have ripped your head off, spat down your throat, and that would have been the last thing you ever did. But I smiled at him. I forgive you. I think I irritated him more, but I was like, love you. Yeah. when we turn the other cheek, you know, seriously, what we do, it's not a display of weakness, it's meekness. Because you could kill the person, but you choosing not to win them, is a higher way of living. And the grain of the kingdom always represents a higher way of living. See, if you respond and you don't turn the other cheek, you may win that fight, but that person you will not win. But when you turn the other cheek, suddenly you open the door to win the person, which means you win the bigger win. Kingdom living is so much higher than the ways we've been taught to live in this life. So, okay, lots of homework for you. It's my homework too. What have you not brought under the rule and the reign of the king? God wants that under his rule and reign. One, because then it will bring blessing, like Aslan walking across the land of your life. Suddenly the snow and the ice and the winter will cease and springtime will break out. Come on, what areas of your life are desperate to see springtime? To be honest, in my life, those areas were always ones that were not fully under the lordship of Christ. But when I brought them under his rule and reign, suddenly the paws of Aslan walked on that area of Narnia and it came alive again. And this is all before we've left the building. But when we live like this, suddenly when we leave the building, we can walk in this life knowing we're citizens of another country and we represent the authority and the potency of that nation, which means then we walk down roads and our very shadows begin to heal the sick. When we speak to demonic things, we speak in a whisper and they leave. In fact, sometimes, like Jesus, we don't even have to speak. We just got to arrive at the shore. Remember, Jesus said, greater things will you do because I go to the Father. Then why haven't I done the greater things? I think it's because I didn't understand my citizenship. Now, citizenship to the kingdom doesn't make you the village weirdo or idiot. That job's probably already taken, right? Jesus wasn't repulsive to people when he lived kingdom life. In fact, they had to come up with crowd control methods because the people couldn't stay away from him. Come on. Lord, send these people away. They just keep coming and they won't go anywhere. How delicious must he have been making kingdom life look? How delicious when Jesus, who embodied kingdom life, walk through Jerusalem. People, not religious people, because they were living in their own kingdoms, but just desperate people, people poor of spirit. We just got to be with that guy. We just got to be near that man. No, don't stop speaking. Your words are truth and they're life and they make us understand. We don't want to go home for food. We don't want our watches. They didn't have watches in those days. They had huge sundials that they carried around. I know that. I'm not an idiot. What's the time, Mildred? But come on, Jesus embodied the kingdom. People weren't like, he's a weirdo. The kids weren't like, mum, daddy, help me. Keep me away from that man. Everybody wanted to be near him. What if we lay aside our evangelism plans for kingdom breakout that are based on us standing on wooden boxes and preaching in high streets, creating circles that not even... When I go through the high street and I see a street preacher, I avoid him. I'm confessing now. Because when I confess my sins, I forget. I get that. I'm like, I duck into H&M and come out of Primark. I mean, I'm like, I'm a Christian. What if we've got it wrong because we won't take the responsibility of what kingdom living is? What if we had our revelation of kingdom living and then just dwelt amongst our neighbours and our friends, and as they watched us, they suddenly saw the manifestation of a life that was more delicious than what they were living, that was kinder, fresher, real, beautiful, strong. We've got to be subject to the kingdom before we can live in the fullness of the benefits. Oh, you'll get splashes. Let me end with this. We love to sing songs, don't we, as Christians? It's like, that's good, make it into a song. And I can remember singing the songs like, Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Remember that one? That was awesome. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, that the kingdom of God. It was quite Jamaican. That's why I did that. Do you want to be an heir of the kingdom? Remember, we're singing this stuff, but we didn't have any revelation of it. Because often when I see Christians and they say to me now, I've got no joy. I've got no peace. I say, well, are you living according to what the kingdom says is right? Because the Bible says righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. If you're living contrary to what the kingdom says is the right way to live, you're only ever going to get splashes of peace and joy. But when your life is living righteous or true to the grain of kingdom living, you'll wake up and it'll be stalking you. I don't want to be happy this morning. Oh, go on then. Why am I so peaceful? Oh, so irritating. I should be like anxious or something. I just go on then. Another day of peace. All right. Nothing to worry about. Casting all my care. All right. Another day. I didn't want to be joyful. Oh, go on then. Because when we live true to kingdom ways become true in us. Does this make sense? So to me, when I'm thinking about going into the harvest and releasing my church into the harvest, I'm thinking, do we just come up with evangelism projects and bring in people? You know, it's like, let's get somebody with a testimony. Not someone good that's just loved God all their life. Let's find someone that went to prison or was a rock star or something, because that always trumps somebody that's just been living for God for like 20, 30 years, doesn't it? You know, it's like, let's bring in, hey, oh, you've been saved 5 minutes in prison. Well, let's not talk about how you ended up there. Or anything. Yeah, you're awesome, you know. Or should we just say, why don't we empower the church to understand kingdom and realize before kingdom breakout becomes kingdom citizenship and get ourselves so filled with being kingdom people that when we leave the building, our light, our lives are being light, salt and light, and we don't even realize we're doing it. When people are watching us respond, when people are watching us love, when people are watching us not respond like others respond, suddenly, just like Christ, because it's his kingdom in us, they go, we just want to be with you. Well, come with us on Sunday. And suddenly everyone starts to bring people with them Sunday morning, and we don't bring them to the foot of the cross, we bring them to the doorway of another kingdom, and we say, hey, come on in and join us. Come on, it's cold out there. Come and join us. We're in another kingdom. Come and be a part of his kingdom. I think I'm done. Is that enough for you? Is that stirred your heart? Yes. It's a cheap prayer to pray, Lord, let your kingdom break out through us. If the life that's asking it isn't bowed its knee to the kingdom itself. To me, I believe we are coming into a day of just power, miracles, signs and wonders. I really believe God's like, if you could see what's coming, there's going to be a day of just not, did you hear about that miracle? You know, the person's toe grew bigger than the other one. But just like, well, you pulled it, didn't you? You know, that leg, boom, you can't, yeah. No, I want to see a leg that wasn't there grow. I want to see eyes that aren't there formed. Like guys like T.L. Osborne did. But I don't want to live in the testimony of others. You know, it's like I'm bored of saying, well, Wigglesworth, he did this. I'm tired of that. God bless you, Wiggy, but it's my turn now. It's my turn now. You know, love you, Catherine Coleman, but no, it's my time. Because they're a part of the same kingdom I am. And the kingdom that's in them is no different to the kingdom that's in me. So maybe it's just about removing blockages. Maybe the way that we remove the blockages is just simply the bowing of our knee to the lordship and the rule and reign of another kingdom that's within us. Philemon 6 says that the communication or the living out of our faith will become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that's in us in Christ Jesus. Well, I've never attached that verse to this message before, but it really fits well, doesn't it? Philemon 6, that the communication, the living out of your faith will become effectual. By what? The acknowledging of every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. Do you not realize that the kingdom of God is not food and drink? It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Do you not realize that the kingdom isn't coming? It's here. It's not contained in buildings. It's contained in people. It's not released from stages. It's released from subjects.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.